Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I was truly glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that he, the Lord, is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For we know it's divine revelation revealed unto us the mastery of excellence. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. And I am rejoicing on this glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord has made, February the 20th, 2022. And you tune in into the manner of speaking where God supplies the most necessitable information to motivate us, to inspire us, and to move us to that miraculous level of manifestation. And I just thank God to be one of the oracles in that tabernacle to speak and to proclaim his word. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And let me tell you something. When you walk in the marvelous light, you will not desire the darkness anymore. Let me tell you something. If there was ever a day and time that believers, that leaders, that earnest contenders of the faith needed to step up and step out, cry loud and spare not, that time is here and now. And you know I've said it once and I'll say it again, not only to America, but to every nation upon this earth. Until that geographical location, that country, falls to its knees, prostrate on its face, and asks God for forgiveness and restoration, the nations will continue to crumble. And America is to set the standard of revival all around the world. And that means America, from the highest office in the land to the local establishment within the community, we need to go back to that old landmark, to faith in God, to operating through the power of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. For as many as are led by God, they are the sons of God. God wants to do so many great and omnipotent things in this land. God wants to heal. He wants to reveal. He wants to prosper. He wants to save. He wants to deliver. He wants to do all of these magnificent things. But until we move the trash out into the dumpster, are we talking about trash? This is a word that may be somewhat offensive to some, but it's truthful to those who are walking in the trueness of salvation. We've got to lay aside these weights. These weights have become so contingent, so evident, that it's halting the progression of the kingdom upon the earth. We've got to get away from this commercialized, cosmopolitan, cosmetic-based worship, this stardom facade. We got to get rid of it. We got to remove the selling of tickets and entertainment venues in the congregations. We've got to stop bleeding the people for finances. We've got to stop attempting to act as though we're in the place of God. We've got to stop being stubborn, haughty, proud, caught up in our own flesh, attempting to appease the world. Because understand this, God spoke to us in his word. He said, he that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Because what the kingdom of God teaches, the world does not put into place. So therefore, we as believers need to go back to that old landmark and to ascribe to the things that are of God. God holds the power and the mastery of all things on this earth. Do you not know? Do you not understand that the kingdom of heaven dictates what is to take place upon the earth? But when those upon the earth who profess to be of the circumcision, of the faith, ascribe to the things of the world, there is controversy. There is confusion. And this is not of God. But we know that God is not the author of confusion. But he is the author of peace in the church, which is the embodiment of God's kingdom, of his saints. His saints are those who ascribe to following the principles that Jesus Christ, our Lord, destined for us to follow. Whose report should you believe? Should you believe the report of the world? The world is in chaos. You know why? Because it follows after the very system of imbalances, of disharmony, of displeasure, of carnality. And you know, Apostle Paul spoke and said, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Somebody's listening this morning. Neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And you know what? That means we got to take off the old mind. We're all human. We're all subject to fault, failure, and mistakes. But when we sin, when we fall short, we have an advocate with the Father who is just to forgive us. And when God forgives us, he forgets. He casts our infractions into the sea of forgiveness and forgetfulness and remembers them no more. And oh, what God calls clean, praise his holy name, let no man call unclean. That's just a logos word of instruction to begin us into our broadcast. Because you know something, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the continental U.S. of A., North America, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Africa or Antarctica, know this, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. For he is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent at every place, at every given time. And this is the reason why we don't take and promote science above God, because science conflicts with the elementation, with the dunamis, the power of God. God spoke this world into existence. Don't be foolish and talk about the Big Bang Theory. There was no Big Bang Theory. The scripture tells us, Genesis 1 and 1, that God's face moved upon this firmament. He wanted a place where his spirit children could become physical living matter. So he created the habitation of earth, separated the land from the sea, separated the firmament, the sky, from the territory, established the heavens, the celestial bodies, spoke every living creature into existence. And then spake he, man, to be the custodian of what he created. So man was created to become a keeper, a custodial overseer of the creation of God. And then God did not want man to be alone. And that's why he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And he removed a rib from his side and created woman. Woman is the womb of man. And this was to allow the earth to be taken care of, because once Lucifer, the fallen angel, was casted out, God had a plan. He had a plan. See, God never creates anything without a plan. And in this case, it was the master's plan. The master's plan said mankind will take the earth and watch over it and be governed by my law, saith the Lord, my rule. And therefore, things will be taken care of. But when man fell from God's amazing grace to disgrace, it caused the human race to take plight as well. It all stemmed from Satan when he was casted out. He was known as Saint Lucifer. And God had to make sure that everything was intact to safeguard, to protect, to oversee. And ever since that day, mankind has been running the race ever since, striving against the flesh, against opposition, coming against the elements of negativity. Because why? We know that God's mastery supersedes everything. And all Lucifer wanted to do is to be as God was. But see, there's only the major evidence of the difference. You see, Lucifer couldn't create anything. So all he could do was to stir havoc. See, God was the only presence, spirit, that could create. Whatever he thought he spoke, it manifested. Lucifer couldn't do that. So he had blind ambition. He wanted to be as God. As a result, he plummeted. He and two-thirds of the angels were casted out. And his kingdom became the earth. And this is the reason why God sent his only begotten son, his personage, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, to bring man back to his original state of existence. And only one was perfect, Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is why he came. So here is the connotation of why we must fight the good fight of faith and allow the power of God to transmit through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So praise God this morning. If it's evening, fine, wherever you are. If it's afternoon, if it's midnight, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there. And we're speaking. Had a prayer request, and I'm going to go forward in a word of prayer, asking that Father God, in the name of Jesus, you see, the keys to the kingdom of heaven possess the healing transmission. Oh, praise his holy name. It possesses the capacity to work miracles. This world is so confused and so intenimous, they don't even believe in miracles. Don't you know that the miracles of God happen in this day and time? But because the world has become so confused and those self-proclaimed believers have become so carnal-minded, they refuse and refuse to believe it. But God does the supernatural. God destroys diseases, conditions, life-threatening situations. God moves obstacles. He creates ways out of no way. When the door won't open, God has a way of tearing down that door and making a clear path. He wants to do it. And he will do it. Step out on faith this morning, and we're going into a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you show forth yourself great and magnificent as we know that you are. To those who have inboxed and requested prayer for physical healing and manifestation, we know that Jesus was bruised for our transgression, wounded for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. We're speaking healing in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, to Jackie this morning. Be thou made whole in the name of Jesus. To all those, too many to name, Father God, touch and deliver. Let the power and the magnificence of your healing virtues be made manifest. Unto those who are going through relationship struggles, in marriages, in their family life, with their children, as Jesus spoke upon the water, he said, peace, be still, and the wind ceased. Let the confusion stop in the name of Jesus. To those who are struggling financially, instability, frustration, Apostle Paul spake and said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Heaven knows no poverty. Heaven knows no lack. All heaven knows is wealth, riches, and provision. Let them be dispersed to those who are in need, Father God. Unto every heart and mind that's perplexed and troubled, confused, let the perfect peace of God come and minister those who trust in him. Even to those who don't trust in him, Lord, we ask in your infinite mercy to show them your loving kindness and your greatness. Father God, we're praying for the congregational leaders today that they would come back to the originality of the faith that was once received unto the saints, that they would clean up their congregation. They would clean up their behaviors. And they remove the carnality from these establishments, Lord. But Lord, we know that the brick and mortar buildings are not the church. We, as believers, are embodiment of the church. And we need to rise up and be counted, so that this land will be healed. But Lord, you said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. Heal the land, high heavenly Father. We need you. We need you now, Lord. The racial tension, the bias, the prejudice, the infractions, Father God. Remove them. But Lord, we know the source of all this confusion. And Father God, the peace of God which passes all understanding, rule over our minds and our hearts. As we worship you, Father God, we raise our hands, we say, as we praise and thank our very mediator, our Savior, our only Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher that teaches us how to teach, that speaks words of wisdom to us, that instructs us about ourselves, our lives. Lord, give your people a tender ear where they listen to the Holy Spirit, and that they allow the Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Father God, we praise you. We thank you for miracles past, for miracles present, and in the future. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, thank you for the holy angels that carry out your commission. Thank you for the saints that paved the way. Thank you for those apostles that stood, that had that standard. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. And we thank God for you today. God is doing great things here in the kingdom. And just say, praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, thought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and in uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. God has already added a blessing to the reading of his word. I read for your listening consideration and your soul inspiration, Psalm 111. And as you know, as I was speaking to you previously, I began to just pray within my being concerning the instructional information that is being provided here with manner of speaking. And it was this burden upon me to go into the book of Psalms. Psalms is one of the most powerful, one of the most anointed, one of the most inspirational books in the Bible, and by far has the most chapters, 150 divisions. And Psalms, the very elements and the topics range from fear, anger, wrath, to victory, triumph, redemption, and deliverance. And to any new Christian or any revitalized Christian who are coming back to the real faith in God emanating from the scriptures, even to those of us who have been in this for over 40 years, who have been traveling the journey, you don't learn everything in 40 years. You don't. You become to the elements, people say, you're getting over the hill. No, you haven't even got up the hill yet. We need the book of Psalms because it shows the human equation in attempting to do what is right. Now, the human side of us often reflects uncertainty and how God hears us in our most urgent and humble cry. It teaches us loving kindness, trust in God, faith in his power, reliance upon him, how mankind will not live up to their expectations. And one of the most chief writers, David, had an experience with this because the very man that elevated him, put him ahead of his army, which we know was King Saul. King Saul fell by the wayside. He started dealing with enchantment, and you know God, how God feels about enchantment, sorcery, witchcraft, wizardry, all of these things. It's going to stink in his nostrils, and he casts asunder individuals and allows a curse to come upon them. See, this is something that we got to get back to. You can't be a practitioner of witchcraft and sorcery and think you're going to please God. God will cast you asunder, and he will turn his hand against you. If you've been practicing this type of behavior, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. You fell by the wayside. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and come back to the originality of the truth so you can be cleansed. And ask God to cleanse you and to close those doors that you opened. Because you don't know what waits behind those doors. And it's not good. Well, nevertheless, he knew about what it was to be betrayed. And he felt betrayed by this man. Of course, we know, first thing people said, well, you know something? He went with Bathsheba. Knowing Bathsheba was somebody's like, yes, he did. He was weak in the flesh. He was weak in his flesh. That's why Jesus Christ had to come, because man had too many apparent weaknesses. He had the love of God and the Spirit of God within him, but that he was also flesh. So God had to send the perfect man. He had to send his only begotten son. That's why he had to come. because he kept falling short and kept falling short. Jesus Christ had no imperfections. There was no guile found in him, none of those things. There was no iniquity, none of that in him. That's why he had to come. But here David was, the human edge. He just pours out his heart to God about the betrayal, about those who want to destroy him, about the lies. And you know, when one thing happens, this is nothing to the human equation. If we hear about someone that may have gotten some good fortune in their life, and by the time other people get a hold of what incident happened as far as an inheritance is concerned, by the time it gets to the 10th or the 15th person, we hear a totally different story. And lies are often told. Lies are as lethal as a piece of armed artillery. It can destroy people, can shoot people down without even firing a bullet. Lies can do it. Lies can cause people to get gunned down. Lies can cause people's lives to be destroyed because it's impinged upon gossip, naysayers. Don't have no proof, no evidence, just talking. Talking loud and saying nothing. And this is what happened to him. So it was a whole lot of people that was out to get him. And he knew this. And the only way that he could maintain his sanity was to cry out to God. So we're going to go book by book as I instructed so that you can get the fullness of what the author is saying, how he's pouring himself out, the end result, and how God will respond. See, it's on two sides. It's about that person, the desire for God's presence, and how God will respond. So I want you to get your Bible out with me. We're going to the third chapter of the book of Psalms. The Power of the Psalms is what this series is called. This is a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, his own son. You know, Jesus told us that it come a time that a man's enemies be that of his own household. And here it was. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Now, along with Saul, King Saul wanted David destroyed, wanted him killed. Here he had to flee from his son from what Absalom had done. Now, his own flesh and blood son. He said, how many more people are going to come after me? He's at the point of breaking. He's a human being. Yeah, he's the anointed king of Israel, but it's going to take time for him to get on that throne. God got to take some stuff out of him. God has to remove some things. See, sometimes we just think, oh, it's so cruel, I'm all by myself, I'm all alone. God has purpose embedded within you, and he has to separate you from certain people. And you feel like you're in a chain of isolation. It's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for us being alone. There's a purpose for us in that quiet corner so God can echo his voice loud and clear. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. He's saying, people were turning around and they're talking about him saying that God is not on this man's side. Look at it. King Saul wants him taken out. We've heard of the things that he's done. His own flesh and blood wants to destroy him. So he doesn't have anybody. Nobody's on his side. So if he knows that he is in a solitary area, I would say solitary area of confinement as far as his ability to exist. He knows that the only person that he has in his corner at this time is God. So he's crying out to God saying, literally, I can't take it anymore. This is too much. I cannot bear these sorrows any longer. I can't do it. Have you ever in your lifetime, I know I can say I'm a testimony. A Holy Ghost-filled testimony telling you, yes, I have. Now, I know that having the Holy Spirit within me, and I'm feeling that through my flesh, those who have not the Spirit baptized upon them and within them, and the living water flowing. I know that their desperation and desolation have to even be greater. And there has been times because God had to mold us into certain configurations so that we would be meet for the master's use. The fourth verse, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. What is David saying? He said, I cried, and all that song said, I cried all night long until I found the Lord. He cried so, he was so broken, he was so torn, he was calling a spirit of distress to the point that God heard him. Well, see, first of all, God heard you the first time when you called out. But the consistency of your calling out provided God with a sense of urgency to rescue you from that situation. And this is what happened with David. He heard him out of his holy hill. That means he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God heard him. And when God hears, God acts. He reacts. He responds. When the situation is urgent, I want you to write this down. This is Revelation. That's right. Rhema, this is living words. God hears. He listens to us. So when you listen, you discern and you decipher. And if the situation is urgent, God instantaneously responds and he sends his deliverance. If the situation is somewhat serious, God evaluates us. And he looks at the situation, and he looks at how our response is to the situation. And he sends the Holy Spirit to minister to us regarding the way to deal with the situation. But if there's a situation that is a minuscule capacity, God gives us the wisdom, the inner wisdom through the Holy Spirit. But we got to be tenacious to the Holy Spirit and listen. And he tells us what to do. So what's out of our hands, God takes command, okay? What's out of our hands, God will take the command, okay? He will deal with it. And some things you learn. You learn. I know I've learned 40 years beyond being as a born-again believer, as a Christian, as a minister, as a teacher of the gospel, as being also a conduit in which God has worked miracles through. That's why we're conduits. We're not special people. We're only able to do what the power of God allows us to do. And there's no glorification of the flesh. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit through the power of God that worketh forth miracles. So God heard him. And God is responding. He is. I laid me down and slept, for the Lord sustained me. What is David King, David saying? He's saying, you know what? When God heard me, that's all I needed to know. And he spoke and said, all is well. When God speaks to you, I know the Holy Spirit has spoken to me many times. And I know that's the voice of God. All is well. When he says all is well, that's over. No more picking it up again. Let it go and let God. He's already got this. That means he had peace. He was able to sleep. He wasn't tossing and turning, looking over his left shoulder, looking over his right shoulder, trying to see if he heard anybody creeping up on him. He knew that when God heard him, he didn't have to worry anymore. Remember, Jesus said, hold your peace. He said, well, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Sixth verse, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. He's saying, now, because I know God is with me, he has heard me, he has responded to me, I will not even be afraid of the crowds of people who are against me. Because if God be for me, he's more than the world against me. Because all God has to do is speak one word, those 10,000 fall to plight. That's right. God speaks one word, situations change overnight. God speaks one word, and the very person that oppresses you is removed. God speaks one word in the very elementation of a leader that tried to plant you under their feet, God will take them and cause them to fall. and all they that supported him or her will fall. So sometimes God just has to stretch his flexing arm. He had to show folks, don't play with my children. You know, I've heard this, and it's said in a comical way. I'm bringing a little humor here. It was a lady that was very quiet, very demure in character, and she worked in an establishment. It was a laundry outlet that would actually do the washing for people who didn't have commercialized, you know, machinery to be able to do it themselves. So they brought it there. And this lady was very quiet. She was very humble. She worked. People would talk. She would speak to them kindly. She was very demure. And she didn't say much. And the other women were somewhat outlandish, confrontational, whatever have you. Never said much. But there was a day that her daughter and her son came to the facility. And this woman had a bad habit. The lady that would take care of the customers as they come in and count the laundry and things like that and separate and do all that. Sometimes she would be very ostentatious and confrontational with people. And some people were afraid of her. And the workers respected her, and they would tell her their business, everything, except this woman who was very quiet and very minuscule in her character. So her children came there, and they didn't have any clothing or anything like that. They were by themselves. And relatively from the way that the story was told, the children must have been pretty young, probably about 9, 7, somewhere in that area. So her son walked up, and he said, hi, I'm not speaking with my mother. And the woman, he was saying, your mother, who is your mother? Your mother has a name. And she just went all off on this child. And the little boy, of course, got a little scared. So the woman heard this going on up front. So she came up front to see what something she could do or what was going on. Lo and behold, there were her two children coming to see her. I think they needed some money to buy something to eat or something of that nature. However, this quiet, minuscule woman spoke loud and spoke up as she got into the woman's face. She said, let me tell you something. These are my children. They can come up here anytime they want to and talk to me. She said, now, I don't say anything about anything. I never get involved. She said, but I'll tell you something. You mess with my children, you're messing with me. The woman was shocked. And this woman that was quiet and minuscule in her and demure in her character was up in this aggressive, confrontational woman's face, pointing her finger as though she was about to spin her into orbit. Well, of course, the other workers came out to find out what's going on. And the woman that was aggressive and confrontational, looked, she dummied down because she's saying, uh-oh. And she's stepping up on me like this. She was in almost in a state of shock. And she went to her children and gave them what they needed. From that day forward on, she earned a new respect because they knew that this woman would come out loud and clear when it came to her children. Well, let me tell you something. How much more so that God speaks up for us as his children? He will defend us. If he has to uproot a nation because they offended us, so be it. He will. Don't step that way. That's right. Look what happened to the land of Egypt. When the children of Israel, even though they were disobedient, God allowed them to be held 40 years. But their disobedience, 40 years represents chastisement and judgment. Yeah. But they were released. And when God said, let my people go, he's not playing. Don't mess with his people. He said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. And he means it. And so God was defending him. So that's why he was no longer fearful. The seventh verse. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Oh, he's saying, oh, Father God, I thank you. Oh, arise, I give praise unto you, Lord. You have beat down my enemies, the people that tried to take me down and take me out. You have removed them. You have broken their jaws. They can't even speak against me anymore. You have broken their arrows, their weapons, and destroyed them and put them under their feet where they were trodden upon. Because they messed with me and I'm yours. I'm your child, Lord. Sometimes you just got to say, Lord, I'm your child. I'm your baby. We don't never get too old and too advanced and too matured not to be the little beloved children of God. You know, God does have beloved children, children that just lay on his bosom and cry out to him all the time. They're always praying. You know something? Beloved children are ones you really don't want to mess with. And I'm going to tell you something. Through all that I've experienced in my life, I'm going to give you my testimony someday. I may even put it in a literary form. And I'm going to tell you something. Becoming a beloved child of God, you write at God's heart. Oh, God loves you so much. He loves his children, but oh, something about a beloved child. That child is always up under you. The child always talking to you. You're just going to try to do everything you can to please that child because you love them, but you're saying, okay, you got to go do something else because you just up under me too much. And I know God feels like that about me and many of you, but he enjoys our company because you know something? Abraham was so close to God and his relationship that he became God's friend. Don't you want to be God's friend? We know God is our friend, but we want to be his friend. And this is what Abraham was. So you know that's the reason why his seed was blessed and propagated through the earth, and everything he touched prospered and progressed because he was a friend of God. So he's saying that you even broke the teeth of the ungodly. Well, the ungodly, people that profess to be something and they know they're not. They camouflage, cosmopolitan. They put on the dog, as they say. God is not impressed with that. But Jesus said this, let the wheat and the tares go together. He said, in the day of the harvest, I'll do the separating. He's going to do the separating, but right here and now, God will do the whooping and the beating down because you can't mess with God's plan. See, some of us, God has planted us. Listen to this word of knowledge coming through the scripture. And it's coming through the instruction of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to follow whether I understand or not. It's not important. What I think is not important. God has planted many of us in various venues in the educational community. Yes, I'm a testimony. In the business, commercial community, and community organizations, even in offices, offices of government. And it's something about when you're planted. Sometimes it'll be times that it's rain. Mm-hmm. It'll be times of sunshine. It'll be times of turbulent winds, unseasonably cold temperatures. But you know what? Because you've been rooted, because you've been grounded, God lets the roots even become more resilient so that you don't go anywhere. Or you might be saying, ooh, this looks like it's so good. I could go here and do this. God said, no, you were planted and rooted here. I'm not done with you. So we can't move. We wondered why. Oh, I wonder, couldn't get that position at this other location. It was paying more money. It was giving me more benefits. It was giving me more cushion time. Because God said, you thrive where you've been planted. You have purpose. You've been appointed. See, when you've been appointed somewhere, you can't go nowhere. As much as you want to, you can't go anywhere because God has an assignment for you to complete. That's revelatory knowledge, honey. So let's stop getting frustrated about it. The things we think. But sometimes our thinking goes, takes us way off in places we ought not to even go in the first place. He says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. He's saying, deliverance and revitalization, being made whole, comes from God. It doesn't come from a man or a woman. So this is the reason why we can't get caught up on leadership. I hear some people talk about their leaders wanting to talk about God. Honey, you're in the wrong place. No, uh-uh. Everything that we experience, even as you're hearing the teachings that are being given to you here through me, I'm an oracle. That means I'm a provision. I am an article, but I'm not the publisher. Okay, you got that? As ministers, we're articles. We're not the publisher. We're not the print press. No, we're not. We're not the editors because Jesus is the author and the finisher of the faith. We're just oracles. We're just beings. We're just vessels that the word comes through. Don't get it twisted and talk about following me. Paul says, I follow me as I follow Christ. But in that day and time, there wasn't any written tablet. There was not a scriptural binder. The Bible was not published then. It was from the Dead Sea Scrolls. So this is why. But your leading, your worship should be the one who created the heaven and the earth. That's who your adoration is. That's why I read that Psalm. Holy and reverent is his name. So some people have even came up to me, oh, reverend. So I said, first of all, let's get this. I'm not a reverend. I don't qualify to be a reverend. No woman, no man qualifies to be a reverend. I'm just a vessel. I'm a student in training. I am a vessel for the master's use. That's what I am. And so we need to get people straight and take down those reverend signs. Stop calling men and women reverend because that is not their place. There's only one that's holy and reverend, and that's God the Almighty. He called everything into existence. He's the masterful and the all-powerful. So here it is. He says, it's upon and from you. Blessed are your people. I mean, blessed are they that obey you. Blessed are they who worship you and only you. Blessed are they who desire you, who call upon you, who have a relationship. But you see, salvation is a relationship. You find so many people sitting in the congregation, they don't have a relationship with God. For them coming to congregation, it's to socialize. It's that, oh, I heard the word. Okay, you heard the word, but did you ascertain a relationship with the author of the word? What do you mean? We got to go back to the old landmark. That's why there's power in the Psalm. The lessons are astringent. It talks about the human equation, but it instructs us into faith, trust, worship of God, acknowledgement of God, recognition of God, and it shows what the end result of trusting in God is. Well, listen, this time is escaping so quickly. Don't get sad. Get glad because we're coming back again next week, and we're going to go to the fourth division of Psalms. And I hope and pray that you have been taking notes so you can be able to ascribe to encouraging yourself. And go through the book of Psalms. We're going to go through all 150 divisions of Psalms. And it's going to be an adventure worthwhile to help edify you and build you up in your most holy of faith. And people say, well, I need to have my faith built. I need to join. Honey, if you don't get faith, joy, restoration, deliverance, the mirror translation of God's power through Psalms, there is certainly a power deficit in your life because this book will do it. It will do it. And God has again laid it upon my heart to teach from the book of Psalms. That's what it's called, the power of the Psalms. Well, have a blessed, miracle-filled week and put God first. And when you put God first, he'll always make sure that you will come out victoriously. And all things give thanks. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know this. The miracles are on the way because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You've got your hope. The Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, knows the Motor City Maharani, saying in all things give thanks. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Apostle Paul said it remains true to this day. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Have a glorious, victorious, spirit-filled, miracle-manifesting week. And we'll see you again on next week.